All righty. I guess it's time for us to set sail with Proverbs 2. I'll read this in its entirety. Thank you, Pastor. I'll read it in its entirety, but as I said earlier, today we'll focus on verses 1 through 5. But I do want us to wrap our arms around the whole of the proverb before we dive in. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden women, from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Once more for emphasis, I'll read verses 1 through 5, because that's where we're going to hang our hats today. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Last week, I laid all my cards on the table, told you all, that I like to take singular passage and look at it in its smaller parts before I put it back together as a whole passage and try to walk away with the overall take-home lesson. So today, let's start to look at Proverbs 2, focusing in on verses 1 through 5. If you got your sheet in front of you, what phrases in our passage carry over from Proverbs 1? We've spent about 5 weeks in Proverbs 1. Skim Proverbs 2 and tell me if you see any language that's repeated or familiar.
Wisdom, knowledge, fear of the Lord.
Wisdom, knowledge, fear of the Lord. Those are great call-outs.
Receive my words, receive instruction.
Receive my words, receive instruction. That's a great connector between the two.
Justice,
righteousness, and equity, right? We see any other things repeated? Maybe not in the same picture, but same wording. So, like, for instance, in Proverbs 1, Wisdom is personified as a woman who cries out in all the places where life is lived. Do we see crying out in Proverbs 2? To cry out, to call out, to speak out.
Cry out for understanding, discernment.
To cry out for discerning and understanding. That's Proverbs 2, 3, right? Mm-hmm. So with this particular word, we see the idea carried over. But this time, wisdom isn't the one calling out to be heard. Mm-hmm. The person who wants to be wise is calling out so they can learn. Right? So let's tack a pin in that before we start to walk through these verses. Tom, you called out wisdom, right? In Proverbs 1, it is the repeated focus of verses 2 through 7, right? But then when we look here in Proverbs 2, we see wisdom in verses 2 and 6. Something that's interesting that we see is that wisdom is both taught and divinely given, right? Because we see in Proverbs 2 that wisdom flows from the mouth of God. That's Harry Bailey translation. Words may be a little different in your Bible, right? But we see this idea of wisdom carried over, and it's not just taught by wise people who fear God. Ultimately, if you ever hope to get wisdom, you are hoping to hear from the lips of God, right? And what does that say about wise counsel? If wisdom flows from the mouth of God and you can speak with people who fear God and get wise counsel, that would suggest that God is in the business of speaking through people who fear him. Right? And this is how we need to view interactions with our pastor. This is how we need to view interactions with people who serve as elders and deacons, and not just people who hold offices in church, but genuine people who we know fear God, who we know search the scriptures, inquiring of what God has to say to his people. When they come to us and give us advice, when they come to us and give us correction, we got to be humble enough to understand that while wisdom is taught by men and women, it originates from the lips of God. And to reject wise counsel is to reject the word of God. Because there is no wise counsel that does not line up with the word of God. Another thing that we kind of gloss over is the repetition of my son, right? That this is a father talking to a son. It says something about the intentionality of handing down wisdom from one generation to the next, but it also says something about authentic community. We shouldn't only hope to pass on God's wisdom to the people we birthed. We should hope to pass down God's wisdom to all people that we are in community with. I mean, none of us are sons or daughters of Solomon, but we glean truth. We glean wisdom from his words, right? And the same way we glean wisdom from these words, people around us are able to gain wisdom from those who fear God and carefully search and inquire of his word. Another one I want to point out, understand. We see the word understand in Proverbs 1, verse 2. Then we see it in Proverbs 2, verses 2 and 3, and verse 6. The use of this word, understand, teaches us that wisdom doesn't live on the surface, right? Proverbs 1:7, if you're not careful, can make it seem like the moment you fear God, you become this wise sage, And that's not what Proverbs 1:7 is saying. Proverbs 1:7 is saying that when you fear God, you become eligible to learn wisdom. You become eligible to gain understanding of God. But it's not an overnight process, and all of us can testify that after you came to faith, after you came to the fear of the Lord, it took a long time of development to get to who you are today in Christ. You didn't wake up the day after baptism with the biblical convictions you have today. You didn't wake up the day after you confessed your faith in the Lord Jesus with the level of confidence in God that you have today. But it required teaching and understanding that you had to hear, you had to read, and then through the work of the Holy Spirit over time, God matured you in his word, right? But these are just some things that we can high level observe and note just from looking at the repeated words that we see carry over from Proverbs 1 to Proverbs 2. Why so much time on repeated words? Because for us in Proverbs 2, this is our context word, right? This is how we get up to speed. This is how we pick up the language of the book and see how it's being used in our text. We go back, we study, we look at those repeated words. We ask God how those repeated words are carrying over from one proverb to the next. And the benefit for us is we've spent 5 weeks in Proverbs 1. So we're kind of familiar with the language. But now that we've talked about some of those repeated passages, let's talk for a minute about our parallel phrases. Look with me at verses 1 through 5. On your sheet, it says, and beyond, because we'll see these parallels continue. But let's focus on verses 1 through 5. Take a second to skim them and tell me how you think the parallel lines function in these verses. The lines or phrases.
Well, you've got the word if in 1, 3, and 5. I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but it kind of lines them up to each other, those clauses that follow.
Definitely the repetition of if. But if we look, if you take a tight look at each verse, the A portion of each verse and the B portion of each verse echo the same sentiment. But it's not repetition for repetition's sake. It's repetition to intensify what we pick up in the first line. The benefit of parallelism, especially in poetry, is that it highlights the emphasis of the verse instead of complicates it. So when you see the idea repeated, that the process of repetition is designed to show you that this is something that should be amplified. This is something that deserves our attention, and this is what the author is driving us towards.
So I'm trying to understand what you're saying with the parallels.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you say the beginning of like one of the verses, mm-hmm. like call out. And if you call out, you don't get.
So watch this. Look at verse 1.
Yeah.
If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments. Receive is parallel with treasure up, and my words is parallel with my commandments. So the point of the verse is not just to hear what the Father says, but to hear it and latch on to it because it's valuable, right? And That's what I mean by the parallel intensifies. You get the first line, receive my words. Then the second line, don't just receive it, treasure up my commands. Take it and hold on to it. Value it, cherish it. Right? And then the same thing happens in verse 2. Making your ear attentive is parallel with inclining your heart. Right? And two, wisdom in the A portion of verse 2 is parallel with two, understanding in the B portion of verse 2. And when we look at this one line and the parallel of it, don't just hear with your ears, right? Process this with your mind. Hold it in your heart to understanding. And so now, verses 1 and verses 2 are really walking together. In the same way you should treasure up the commandments with you, you ought to give your heart over to understanding these commandments. Because what's the point of treasuring these words in your heart if you never move to understanding them? And how much of a treasure is it if you don't really know what it is? Right? Like, there's a story told of a guy who had, like, he had a thing for rocks. Had no reason to really like rocks, right? But he liked rocks. So he would go out, he would collect rocks and whatever, he would store them under his bed. For one reason or another, he goes through a process where he starts to sell these rocks. He sells a guy one of them for pennies on the dollar. And the guy knows what this rock is and takes it and sells it for hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? The guy had this, he had this rock. He treasured this rock, but he didn't understand it. And so ultimately, he missed out on 99.9% of the value of it because he held on to something that he didn't understand. What's the value of holding on to God's word but never learning and understanding it? What's the purpose in having a Bible your whole life and never growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ because you don't take the time to understand? Right? But this is how the parallels are working through the verses, if that's making sense for everybody now. All righty. So what we see is how do the parallel phrases function in verses 1 through 5? Each verse is intended to intensify and communicate a singular thought, right? What is the key verse? This is really helpful when you want to study at home. Reading a passage long enough to find out what the focal verse is, and that enables you to pay attention to how it informs the rest of the passage, how the passage flows into it, and how the passage flows from it. So we don't have a lot of time. We got about 20 minutes left. I'm going to give you all a clue. The key verse is between verses 1 and 8. Do me a favor, skim the passage. Tell me where you would plant your feet for a key verse.
1 and 5?
We want to pick one, just one verse.
Nice try, Billy. Can't be wrong if you pick them all, right?
I know.
That was super close, though. You were right there at the one verse I'm looking for in particular.
Is it 6? I think
it's 5.
It's verse 6. Right? The reason why it's verse 6 is because it may feel like she had the cheat code, but I didn't rehearse with her. I didn't have enough time to practice my lesson last night, so she really, she can.
She's just that good. Yeah. Okay. Which lesson is it?
The reason why it is verse 6 is because this proverb in its entirety is about the pursuit of wisdom, right? It is Solomon telling his son and all who would read that the best thing you could do with your life is to give it to a pursuit of godly wisdom, right? And if you're going to pursue wisdom, you need to know where the source of it is. That's why verse 6 is our key verse for Proverbs 2.
So, then the key verse of Proverbs 1 was fear of the Lord. Is that
mm-hmm. Verse number 7.
We're transitioning from the fear to the pursuit of wisdom, which leads to the fear of the Lord.
Yep. See, you're already picking up on the cycle that we're going to have to talk about, because Proverbs 2 shows us there's a cyclical nature between the fear of the Lord and growth or development in wise living, right? That you start with the fear of the Lord and that enables you to live wisely. But as you live wisely and learn more of God, that heightens your fear of the Lord, which then heightens your desire to live wisely, right? And learn more of God, which then again heightens your fear of the Lord, and you're in a cycle of learning more of God, deciding to live a life that pleases God because of your fear of God. And this cycle keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. But that's a little bit ahead of where we're at now. But that was great insight. Thank you for that, Tom. Bill, I like the fact that you pointed out verse 5 as possibly the key verse. Verse 5 is interesting because it gives us a huge hello about how Proverbs 2 is set up. Pastor Jeff mentioned one part of it with the if statements that we see repeated. Right? So you get these, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, then this will happen.
You talked about the parallels, you know, and one, I read verse 4 and I kind of attributed it to verse 5, but the parallels, in the verse 1, he says, if you treasure up my commandments. It's an interesting word, treasure up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you show us some parallels. And then 4, it says, if you seek it like silver, mm-hmm. search for it at a hidden treasure. So, like, those looked a little parallel to me. So I thought he was doing something with that, maybe some kind of inverse inclusio or something like that. You
know? I definitely think there's a connection between the two.
Yeah. So, I was kind of like saying, well, 4 and 5 is a beautiful statement. And if you seek it like treasure, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. So that was my wayward, disastrous thinking.
No, that was super close and super accurate. Verse 4 is not the only condition. Verses 1 through 4 are our first sets of conditions. And verse 5 is the promise. Because when you go home today, read Proverbs 2, and you'll realize that it is filled with something called conditional promises. Right? If you do this, then this will happen. We see it really clean in verses 1 through 5. If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is a conditional promise, right? And so if you hope to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God that we see in verse 5, you got to commit your life to the conditional if statements of verses 1 through 4. If you want to understand the fear of the Lord, you're going to have to receive these words and treasure up these commandments. And what we got to keep in mind is we get a seat in a conversation between a father and son. What this father doesn't know as he's writing this for his son is that God is breathing this for the good of his people, right? So it's not just the book of Proverbs that these conditional, that hold these conditions, but really all of Scripture. It's not just if you receive Proverbs and store treasure Proverbs as commandments. No, it's if you receive God's words, Scripture, and treasure up God's word with you. Right? It's we gotta see this as the larger conversation God is having with his people inside of this conversation that this father is having with his son. That the same way Solomon is saying to treasure his words, to value the book of Proverbs, to value what he wrote in Ecclesiastes, God is saying to all who read from Genesis to Revelation, receive my words. From Genesis to Revelation, treasure up my commandments with you. Because these are God's words and God's commandments, right? And we've got to view the whole Bible as something to be treasured if we hope to inherit the promise of verse 5. God is not satisfied with believers who have pet passages. God is not satisfied with people who are comfortable with skipping over things that may be uncomfortable in Scripture. If God is okay was showing us the ugliness of his people in Scripture, then we ought to be careful. We ought to be comfortable reading it. There is no passage that has less value. There is no jot, no tittle that should not be treasured in our hearts. Because as Proverbs 2 tells us, wisdom flows from the very mouth of God. Everything we read in Scripture flows from the mouth of he who created the universe. So we talked about the conditional promises. Let's look at verse 1. I feel like I hammered this one home already. What condition does verse 1 provide?
Receive the word and treasure up.
Real simple, just to receive the word, to treasure it, to value not just what we read in Proverbs, but to value all that we find in God's word.
I think you mentioned earlier, but it does, parallelism can go a bunch of different ways, right? I could just mm-hmm. restate it just in different words. Mm-hmm. There seems to be an escalation here, mm-hmm. right? Between not just merely receiving, but actually, you know, finding it as like treasure. You know.
Don't just listen to what I'm saying, son. Yeah. Take it home with you. Yeah. When you get home, process it, chew on it, think on it, meditate on it. Ask God to give you insight into what I said. Value it.
But even, sometimes we don't feel like treasuring mm-hmm. God's word or godly advice or whatever. I think there might be a listen to it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
And let's be honest, the parts of God's word that we try not to value or treasure are usually the parts that's holding up a mirror to ourselves right now, right? When God confronts us with who we are, we try to rationalize a way to not value that portion of scripture. And this is God's word saying that even in those places, and I dare say, especially in the places where scripture is holding a mirror up to you, value it, treasure it, right? Don't close the book, don't turn the page, even if the mirror is showing you a picture that breaks your heart because you realize how far from God's standard you may be in this area of your life. God isn't showing it to you to be mean or petty. God is showing it to you to show you where he wants to develop you and make progress. And he's using his word to show it to you because he's also going to use his word to grow you from it. But that doesn't happen if we don't treasure the word. If we reject the lessons. Right? What does that look like on a Sunday morning? That looks like Pastor Jeff standing in the pulpit preaching, and some kind of way he done came down my row and is in my seat. And since he's preaching, and it seemed like he talking to just me, I'm going to pull out my phone and see what's going on Facebook, because I can't take this heat. It's a little too uncomfortable in this seat. Hi, Dominique, did you call Jeff this week? I don't really know how he knew that, but I'm uncomfortable. Grab your seatbelt, buckle in, and hear what God is saying to you through his preacher. Hear the wise words of correction that may be uncomfortable, but that you should value and that you should hear out, because wisdom comes from the mouth of God. But not just Pastor Jeff, Elder Connell, Dan, Nathan Miller, there are wise people who fear God, who study God's word, that God has tasked with leading this congregation forward. And we do well to receive encouragement from them, but also correction and challenge. Because these are the people who fear God. These are people who are wise. And these are people who God has put in a position to lead us and help shepherd our souls. We do well to heed, to value what they have to say. Right? But not all parents, back to verse 1, not all parents give words that should be received and treasured. Right? We talked about that in Proverbs 1. Why should Solomon's words be treasured?
God spoke to him.
He wrote, but God breathed, right? And why would God breathe his word through the pen of Solomon? Well, one, because God is sovereign and he can use whoever he wants. But two, Solomon feared God.
The Bible says that God spoke to Solomon at least twice.
Mm-hmm.
At least twice.
So these are reasons why these words are valuable. But how do the conditions develop in verse number 2? Right? Hear, receive, and treasure up. How do these conditions escalate or further develop in verse number 2?
They go from like instruction to action.
That's good. They go from instruction to action.
Does it say receive the words and then it says incline your ear to the wisdom? It says treasure the commands, but then apply your heart. So it's like, do this, but now do it to a deeper level.
So
take some action on it.
From verse 1 to verse 2, we see that it's not just about hearing, right? But there's something that you got to do in this process. After you hear, what do? You got to search for understanding. You got to seek how to apply it. You got to be asking God. I read the word, right? Like I heard the sermon. How do I live it out? How do I walk it out? How do I get this from words that went through my two ears to truth that lives in my heart and motivates my hands? Because if we stop at hearing and we never move to understanding in our hearts, we never actually live out the wise, God-fearing life that God intends, right? So we see progress, like you have to hear, but then you've got to act on it. You need to search for understanding, to incline your heart in your inner parts. You need to be trying to wrestle with God's word and allow it to overwrite the spaces in your heart that are corrupted by sin, right? Let's look at verse 3. How do the conditions shift in verse 3? So we had this process of hearing and treasuring, right? That moves to not just a treasure that you hold on to, but something that you understand, that you can process the value of. Now, how do these conditions shift in verse 3?
He wants us to ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Right? It goes from listening to inquiring. It's interesting that while wisdom in Proverbs 1 cries in the streets, right? She speaks in all the places where life is lived. And Proverbs 1 tells us that the wise way forward is to hear wisdom's cry and turn toward wisdom, right? Proverbs 2 tells us that when you hear wisdom's cry and turn toward her, you are to turn asking questions, right? Why is this the way that honors God? Who is this God that I need to live my life honoring? How can I know more of this God that I need to honor? Well, wisdom has told me God exists, God should fear him. Wisdom, how can I learn more of God? Right? There has to be a search on our part. And while wisdom speaks, right? And while wisdom waits for us to respond, we also have a responsibility to inquire. That God has not left it solely on wisdom for us to be wise. But how many of us search the scriptures? Right? That's inquiring. How many of us spend our days asking God, what are you saying in this passage? What was going on in this story? What do these verses mean? How do these verses look in my life? How can I live out the truth that I just heard in this sermon? How do I live better in light of how I've been corrected by God's word? Right? The pursuit of wisdom progresses from listening to inquiring. So the pursuit of wisdom isn't just about a response that turns from evil. The wise way forward is about a response to wisdom that turns from evil and chases after wisdom. By praying for wisdom and asking wise people about God and the godly way to live life. When we have decisions to make on how to handle people, we should be asking God how to navigate the situation. We should be so steeped in scripture that the Holy Spirit can point us to a moment in Scripture that reflects what we need to do. Because wisdom requires not just hearing, but a search on our part as well.